the priests used to have to do all kinds of things and make sure that they were washed and cleaned to walk into the holies of holies. But when our Savior died on the cross, the veil was rent, and we are able to walk in this morning, washed by His blood. That's how He sees us, to come into the holies of holies. And what an honor to worship.
Yes.
What an honor to worship. That He has made a way for us to stand in His presence. Made a way for us to stand in His presence to worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you.
Hallelujah.
We bless you, Lord.
So open up your heart. Open up your hearts and worship me, because you are in the Holy of Holies. So open up your heart and worship me. Don't just stand there. Don't just sit there. Don't think about other things, but set your mind on me and just enter in and worship me. Because as you worship me, your life changes. As you worship me, you're loving on me and causing me to come in your life by you opening your hearts and loving me and worshiping me. And then your circumstances will change. So don't think about them, but worship me and adore me in the Holy of Holies, because you come in by the blood of my Son. Don't think about what you did wrong this week. You're covered in the blood of my Son. Just say, forgive me, Lord, and walk on in and worship me and adore me and see the glory fall, not only in this place, but in your life and everywhere you go. My glory will flow through you and not only change your life, but change the lives of those around you. Don't just have your mind on you and your problem, because there's so many hurting out there and dying and going to hell. But worship me and enter in, that you can go from this place in my power, in my anointing, that many will be brought into my kingdom, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, we choose to worship you, Lord. We worship you with all our heart. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We worship and adore you. Oh, how we love you, Lord. We love you. We adore you. We magnify you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We love on you, God. We worship you, Lord. Oh, how we love you, God. We love you, Lord. We worship you.
So hallelujah, Jesus. I learned something new this week. When it's like we're talking about what the blood of Jesus has done for us. And I learned something new. I didn't know it quite this way. I've been listening to the Born Again Trail. And I found out that the Spirit was not given to Jesus in measure. I always thought, like it's always been taught, that the Spirit wasn't given to Him in measure because He's God. And all of God was poured out on Jesus. That's what I've always thought. Because He could receive it because He's so holy. That He was no measure for hit the Spirit put in Him. But to us as people, it's measured out. But that's not the truth. I found out that He was the firstborn with the new nature of God. He was the first one since Adam, before Adam fell. God took it. It took God all those years to find one that He could pour His life into. And so the life was poured into him with no measure. All of God, the fullness of God, was poured into Jesus. And then he could go to the cross and die. And his blood, his sacrifice, we can receive it without measure. We can receive the Spirit of God without measure. We're not like the men and women of old that only had a part of God or only could serve him from their minds. We have Jesus Christ, God, the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, dwelling in us. So there's no measure in us. We have all of God. We have the inheritance because we are sons and daughters of God. We're not adopted anymore. We're not adopted. We are fully bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That makes us whole, holy sons and daughters of God. So that blood was more than enough. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you lived your life pure and holy. Thank you that you could be the one that could come and redeem this world. Thank you, Jesus. So we're here for you. We're going to live our whole lives worthy of your call, Jesus, because you're in us. Your holiness dwells in us. You are our righteousness. You are our holiness. You are more than enough. Our new nature has made us more than enough, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. So let's reach way down on the inside of us in that place, in our spirit, in our born-again spirit, our new nature, and give God the worship and the glory that he so much deserves. Yes, we worship you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. One mind and one accord, Jesus. We are one with you, Lord. We are your bride and we worship you. We are your children, we exalt you. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you. We live to know you more. We want to know you more, Jesus. We want to know you more, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Exalt you, Jesus. Magnify and glorify you. Magnify and glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah!
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah! 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 Father, we magnify you. Well, we thank you because we begin to do warfare. With these very words that you've said that we could come in straight by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. What is it that you think comes to occupy the atmosphere, your surroundings? know this, that when you take a stand to go in, against your stand is the one who's watched 1,000 congregations like yourself and comes to corral so that you walk away a little bit at a time from what I've called you to do. But know this, to the one who resists in all purpose of heart, that I'm able to come. And I'm able to come and bring you past yourself into newness and to change. For I've said unto you that change is on the way, and that my purpose will be fulfilled in this house. But you must continually, on every occasion, make that stand until all things are complete, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to have you come up in a little bit. What this church is, can I describe it to you? This is my day off church. I've worked hard all week, so I'm taking the day off. I must engage. I must engage the moment. I must engage the moment. You know why? Because otherwise He will corral you. He'll absolutely corral you. What if we don't want to become engaged? Listen, I'd rather have two of you than 10,000 that will say, I'll give Him my absolute best. So would you all, unless you're hurting in your body, and then I'll come pray for you, would you all please stand for the duration of this praise? Would you please stand? And would some of you please come and engage the moment? Absolutely engage the moment. If you said, well, this is my day off, wrong. This is your day to give Him everything. This is your day not to fall asleep in church. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, if you'll give Him everything, you'll go out of here feeling really, really good. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I was almost asleep till you did that. I know. I could feel it too. He was here. Let's just let Harry play. Just let Harry.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lift it up.
Hallelujah.
We exalt you, Jesus.
You are our refreshing.
We exalt you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, you are our refreshing.
We magnify you.
You're our strength, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're our energy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're our light. You're our sustenance.
I exalt you.
Hallelujah. You're our very breath.
I exalt you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit.
I exalt you, Jesus. I magnify you. I glorify you. I glorify you. I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah.
We are worthy of it all.
Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We magnify you. We magnify you. We magnify you.
Thank you, Lord.
We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You are our healer, our deliverer, our Savior.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Our provider, our miracle worker.
We magnify you, glorify you.
We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus.
Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Jesus. 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 We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt Jesus. We exalt Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We worship you. Blessed be the Lamb. Praise God. Did we get a chance to pray for a pastor's wife in LaBelle? She's having a time with diabetes, kidney failure, and there's water on her lungs. Would you pray with me right now? I'll send the power of God into that place in her body, wherever she's at, if she's hospitalized. Father, right now, thank you, Father. Yes. This is the glory that comes from this house, saith the Spirit of grace. It is my glory, and I give it unto you. That when you speak a word, do not speak it as if just to fulfill a request, but believe with an absolute that what you speak will in these moments come to pass. Saith the Spirit of grace. For when you speak, it is not you, but I in you. saith the Spirit of grace. Do not go by last week's results. Do not go by the year before's results. If you are your teacher, then you stand in jeopardy. If results in the past is your teacher, then you stand in jeopardy. But my word and my word alone. And I say unto you against 1,000 times, 1,000 evidences when your prayers seemingly were not heard, stacked up. There is no evidence against my word, saith the Spirit of grace. For my word, one word spoken that I will perform my word, is 10,000 times 10,000 times, way beyond your comprehension, above and beyond all evidence of failure in this life, saith the Spirit of grace. So when you speak, speak concerning these things and believe that immediately it comes to pass. Now, woman, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. And I command your body whole. Lungs, I command you now. The very thing that has come upon you by the enemy coming to you now, I rebuke in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you to loose your hold and your spirit of infirmity and spirit of death. I command you to come off of her, out of her, release her now in Jesus' name and trouble her no more. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'll begin to work on the inside of her vitals, her organs, the diabetes, the pancreas that has failed to produce the levels of insulin that are necessary for a healthy life. I pray that, Lord God, once again, that these things will begin to work in fullness. Father, I pray that whatever needs to take place in her to yield to whatever you're going to bring forth in days ahead, that you'll do that. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I think sometimes the enemy will come and hold us at bay, and we're not producing a whole lot. Not even nearly the potential that has been invested in us. We could change things. We don't pray. We don't pray a lot of times. You know why? Because we don't believe it works. But when you believe it works, and then the other thing that he'll do, boy, he's real smart, but he's not God. The other thing he'll do is, like, if you have been around this message much, and you are taught about prayer, and you're taught about meditation of the Word, and all the empowered, do you know none of that? None of anything that I can teach you today or next week or tomorrow replaces what you received instantaneously at the cross. So he'll play that other part real hard, like if you're being taught real well, and you're being taught how to live a life of power. And then you go through a season that you're not quite doing all that. Then the enemy will go and play that card real, real strong. He'll play it real strong. And what you'll do is you'll begin to measure yourself in the light of good teaching. It'll be good teaching. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to tell you that praying excessive hours in tongues will build you up on your most holy faith. That's the Word of God. It's not wrong to tell you that blessed is the man who keeps the Word of God in front of him day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water who brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall, it'll not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Compared to the ungodly, that's not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly, they'll not stand in the judgment. There's no place for them. The way of the righteous, to tell you that the benefits of meditation of His Word and speaking His Word and praying it, that's absolute truth. The only thing is, when you find that when you're seemingly, according to other commentary, like your flesh, your mind, or the enemy, when all that comes to you and you begin to measure yourself and say, no, wait a minute, you'll think that your relationship, which is God and Son, had something to do with that. Let me tell you, there's not one thing that you can do that can replace one drop of His blood. Not one thing. And so sometimes you don't pray because that thing comes to all of you in its certain way, tells you you're unworthy. Here's what Candy was saying, and she said it well when he said, and I know some of my favorite old timers taught it, we standing on their shoulders. I don't know what we'd do without them the beginning days. They taught Jesus had it without measure, but we have it with measure. No, the Spirit that He was talking about was that He was the first man in 4,000 years to receive the new nature. David, he had it in measure. Because all he could do was serve God according to the law. He could only, did he love God? Absolutely he loved God. The only thing is, he did not have the nature of God. He could only serve Him out of his mind, and he could serve Him out of a heart. Did his spirit? Yes, his spirit loved God. The only thing is, his spirit did not have the righteous nature of God inside of it. So he only had God in a measure. But guess what? You got the Spirit that Jesus got the day that He was given unto us is a Son given. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the whole of all righteousness will rest upon His shoulders. And we now have the Spirit without measure, because now we have a born-again Spirit that can keep. It can keep the Ten Commandments. It can keep the law. It can walk in the fullness. But nobody goes around saying, do this, do that, don't do that, do this. No. That's why He said in Romans 6, boy, if you can understand Romans 6, 7, and 8, you can understand the entire doctrine of the whole New Testament. It may be that apocalyptic book, which is it's not a doctrinal book. It's just an apocalyptic book, and it has some doctrine in it. Revelation. But the 27 books that are new, if you can understand, as long as the church, as long as a preacher that you listen to on TV or the radio believes that Romans chapter 7. I wish I could just teach it all to you and just put it like a computer chip into you and you'd walk away. They quote those verses like Paul was writing, and he said, the thing that I desire not to do, I find myself doing. And the thing that I want to do, I can't do. Well-meaning preachers that have put church in bondage for years have said, there's your identification. Don't feel condemned. No, well, no, you're not supposed to be condemned, because I can tell you why. Romans 8 told you the reason why. And as long as you believe, as long as something inside of you believes that when Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I find myself, oh, desperate man that I am. I'm a desperate man. I want to do righteousness, but I find myself, when I'm wanting to do it, something inside of me, a law, finds myself once again going right back and doing the same old junk that I was supposed not to be doing. And the thing I wanted to do, I wanted to go into God, and then I found myself over here. They taught us that's a man with a born-again nature having trouble with his flesh. When in the chapter before he went into an intricate detail, he just described it so perfectly. He said, once you were baptized into Christ, as Christ died once, you died with Him. So are you resurrected with Him. Christ died only one time, but when He was resurrected, He was resurrected to life. And you better know this. He said, sin, the dictates of sin, the kissing cousins to sin, the far off things that sin had as dominion over a man. He said, sin no longer has dominion over you because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. When he said you're not under the law, he was talking about a relationship that the law and the Old Testament believer had. They were under the law. The law said, don't do that. He was describing that in Romans 7. Paul stood as a personification of this argument that anybody under the law was fighting in their flesh prior to the cross. He stood there in a personification and said, this was who we all were prior to Jesus' coming. We were under the law. The law said, don't do it. And we said, okay, I don't want to, but how can I not help but doing it? Because there is no relationship between the law and the person trying to keep it. There's no energy. There's no strength. There's no fellowship. There's no nature to impart to that person. It's just, don't do it. And the person's saying, okay, but how can I not? But he said, you're not under that condition anymore. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And when He came, He gave you a nature now. And when He said in Romans 8, He said, that was the man. He said, as an inward man, and then somebody said, well, that's it. He's still talking about the no. He said, with my mind, I served God with the law. But with my flesh said, no, you're not going to do it. David said, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart. Take not your commandments from me. Holy Spirit, you think that man loved God? Sure he did. 5 minutes after he crawled out of bed with Bathsheba, he was, why did I do that? It's okay, David. It's not okay to sin. Just go out there and go to Zadok or go to the priest. Tell him to kill a lamb. Because the reason why you found yourself in that condition, there's no excuse in it. You could have resisted. But one day, about 2,000 years from now, your Redeemer's going to stand on the earth. And anybody that says, Jesus, come into my life, He's going to be empowered. She's going to be empowered with a spirit. So that when Bathsheba comes by, or so when that comes, or when that comes, or that comes, Paul says at the end of all that, I used to be under this. We all were under, the whole human race was in a condition that when sin came, and when demonic demise came and said, you'll do this, there was no, you could just grit your teeth and say, I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to go run to the mountain, and so sin can't find me. But he said, that's not the condition now. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation. That verse wasn't like somebody saying, I'm really feeling guilty, but oh, pick it up. There's no condemnation. That had nothing to do with it. 7 and 8, 6, 7 and 8, it's just one thought. He said, now, to you and me, the gavel has come down. And you better believe there is therefore now no condemning sentence. It was a judicial term that he used. Sin no longer has dominion over you. In other words, when you see it and the emotion comes at you and you say, wow, and something seems like it kind of wants to overpower you, guess what? When you agree with the Word of God and you say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I am not that man that Paul once described. I've been born again. There's something inside of me that kicks in and says, when I say no, I mean no. And everything on the inside of me says no with it. And the power of God enforces that new nature. So when sin comes and said, will you do this? And I say no to it, I don't have to sin. Why don't you have to sin? Because there's an angel standing before you? No, 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 no. Listen, this was, you want to really get specific about this? This was even without the Holy Ghost. This is even without the Holy Ghost. This is the good Baptist fellow, the good Methodist fellow that says speaking in tongues isn't for today. This Spirit was the spirit of the new nature that stepped inside of you. And even if you never even spoke the first shundalai, you could stand there on planet earth against all hell and temptation and every kind of temptation and say, "Why? How can you do that? God must really anointed you." The anointing comes by the Holy Ghost. Without the anointing of God on your mind or on your body, you can stand up, square your shoulders and say, "Uh-uh, don't believe I will." Why? Because I've got a nature on the inside of me that does not submit to sin nor the power of sin. Oh my God. Then when the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes that new nature, guess what? Hell better be careful. Hell better be careful.
Well, they're exercising something against me.
You ought to be able to go in where a bunch of witches are just enchantments, voodoos. Would you like for me to give you a longer needle? I think you messed up my do on that one. Now, do they have power? Oh yeah. Sure they do. I'm not dismissing that. But my God, whatever chicken or cat or dog or, God forbid, human sacrifice they do to empower that devil. Listen, there was one sacrifice. He called it at the end of the world. That blood that was shed for you, you better understand something. If this whole room was filled with witches this morning and warlocks, and they'd come in here and they'd grit their teeth and we're like, "Satan, if you'll give us power over them today, we'll go out and sacrifice." Let me tell you something. It has no authority over you because you've been filled with His Spirit, which is the new nature, and you have been given the sacrificial blood of the New Testament Lamb, not a lamb that was sacrificed with bulls and goats. It's His blood, and His blood alone is sufficient. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Well, I haven't prayed for a long time, so He's gonna...
I love the way Homer said it. He said, "There is no condemnation if you're not praying. There's just no peace either." But you know what will shock you? If you were like 2 months without prayer, and if one of them things was manifesting, you could go over there and say, "Wait a minute. It's not based on my prayer life. It's not based on my fasting. It's not based on my giving. See, I'm either an idiot, this thing's going to kill me. Get out in Jesus' name." It have to go. You know when icky comes in to your home? Vampires, warlocks, demons of every sort. And they'll sit there with you on the couch and they'll tell you, "You can't make me go. Because how do you measure up with all that stuff Pastor Bronk's been teaching?" Well, let me tell you something. How I measure up. It's only and always based on the grace of His blood. And I'm telling you something, icky. You that are causing my kids to go crazy. Want to send them in. And all my daughters messed up. I tell you, stand up right in His face, all of His accusing, and tell Him, "I tell you in Jesus' name, you go out of my house. You go out of my marriage. You go out of my finances." And you know, while you're doing it, He'll be barking at you. "When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time?" Laugh at Him. Because what is it that you could ever do that would enforce the blood of Jesus Christ? God Almighty, you insult Jesus when you begin to go before Him like this. "Well, I know that I hadn't been doing much for you and I hadn't witnessed lately. And it's been a long time since you probably heard from me.
And he's going, oh, God, I'm God, but you're making me feel like I need encouragement. Shape up. Walk in there like you own the place. Because you do. And say, take Father, I worship you. I'm going to take a bath today in his blood. I mean one of those refreshing courses, Lord, where you just come on me. And I'm not promising you. I'm not telling you what I'm going to do as a result of this. I'm just thanking you because you are who you say you are. And I praise you and I give you glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Now on top of that, when you got the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues, oh, He'll come. He'll build you up on your most holy faith. He'll give you wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and praying in tongues. The first thing that you got when you got born again, the next thing that God had for you, He didn't even give you a Bible. He didn't give you anything other than this. Once you were born again, and it could have happened simultaneously, you got the Comforter to come. And the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will baptize your... Why? Now why? My God, why wouldn't people, if they're filled with the Holy Ghost, just speak in tongues all the time? Why wouldn't you go through your house, if you understood you could do it all the time, it'll make you smarter. It'll make you wiser. It'll make you rich. It'll make you a better businessman, a better businesswoman. I mean, the Holy Spirit's like, He's God, and it kind of dumbfounds Him sometimes. Like, I'm in here? Well, I got Him in me. If you don't utilize Him, it's almost like you don't have Him. You've got to utilize Him. You've got to let Him get out there. Praying in tongues. You know, we talk about a prayer closet, but I got to tell you, just so you don't miss it, windshield time is good. Because windshield time will eventually get you to where you sit your little fanny down and pray. Keep praying, going and coming. But my God, if you got something on the inside of it, for God's sake, use it. Use it. Hallelujah. And it goes, praying in tongues is a revelation gift, and it goes perfectly with this. If you'll meditate it, my God, you'll start seeing things. You'll have to be coming up to the pastor and saying, I know you've seen this before, but I'd like to tell you that. And a lot of times I don't. But then it's mine after you tell me. And I'll preach it. This is blah, 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 blah. And I tell nobody that Homer or Candy or any of the rest of you gave it, or Deanne or any of the rest of you gave it to me, or Marcia. Yes. Hallelujah. I need y'all to keep praying in tongues and meditating the Word so you can make me look better. Okay, Pastor, now what if I agree with you. I do. That I don't have to sin. Or I don't have to let depression and fear, anxiety or torment rule over me. I mean, this is my inheritance. And it says I'm free by the blood. I got that revelation. I can see it. I might not see it to where I'm going to see it. Because the more I see it, the more it'll envelop me. But I'm still telling you that even by praying in tongues and even by what word I have in me, and oh yeah, that other thing that you guys do that you talk about, private worship, sometimes I can feel His presence and I'll cry and I mean it's sincere presence. But Pastor, I know that you believe, and I do believe with you, that Romans 7 is not a Christian. Paul's not describing a Christian that's having trouble with his flesh. It really is a man under the law.
But to us, there's no condemnation. Satan can't make us do what we, or sin can't make us do what we don't want to do. I agree with that. Well, why am I still failing? Why is it when I come in here to worship on Sunday, it takes you just kind of rebuking me out of my socks to say, okay, you are worthy. Why does the Holy Spirit have to keep doing that? Why do I keep failing? Why is it that, let's say this, what I'm doing on Saturday night, I mean, if anybody knew what I did, what I looked at. That's why I sit in here through 2/3 of the worship service with my head down in my lap, because I can't hardly look up. But yet I do believe that what you're saying is true. That inheritance is ours. What do I do? I do believe. Pastor, okay, maybe it's not that kind of deal. Let's say, Pastor, I know that nothing should have dominion over us, but why is it? Why? Just could you help me? Okay, I'll try. Why is it my temper? I just fly off at times. And I know I'm a redeemed and that Satan or sin or my temper shouldn't have. Why? I mean, if all this is true, and I agree, Pastor, it is, that we are free. And I look into that Word, and I pray in tongues, and even pray, just worship. Why is my temper just getting the best of me at times? Well, that's not me, Pastor, but... Oh, really? Okay. What about this one? Pastor, I know that the love of God was given to us in the new nature, and He set us free, but okay, I'll tell you. I really have a time running my jaws about people. And if somebody will listen, I can tell them what so-and-so did way back then and what the reason why and why I'm... Or, Pastor, I can't walk away from a debate. I can't walk away from it. If the guy says something sarcastic, I got to... I'm not going to do it. Oh, yes, I am. I got to tell you something. Yes, I am. I got to tell you something. Why can't I? What is it that why can't I have the last, just let them have the last word? Or secrets? I know something. There's a character in Christ that you can take. I can put men in prison for the rest of their life by some of the things I know. If the devil got it, I might be able to break up homes by the things I know. But you know what? They'll put me in my box. I'll go into heaven and nobody will know it except me and the person. She don't even know it. Why is it that I know something and I feel like I'm just Jones and I got to tell somebody? I got a secret you need to know. I'm a special one. I got a secret. Pastor. Woo! Preach it, brother. Okay, I'm free from all that, Pastor. Now you can move on. That's not... Can I get a little picky? Indulgences and overindulgences, things that are free by a good conscience. Why is it that the second plate just, it filled me up, but why couldn't I leave it at just being pleasant? Why'd I have to, 30 minutes later, go back and fill up again? He said, now you're meddling. No, I'm just talking about how the flesh is. Why do I got to get up when the house is asleep and rummage through? There's a coon in the kitchen. No. That's... Why? Okay, leave that alone, Pastor. That's far enough. Okay, why? Why is it that I can't stop spending? I know I got three of those in the closet, but I need to... Why? You said we're free. Yes, you are. Listen. Jesus said this. There's one of my inroads that I'm going to give to the church. That after I'm gone, if you use it, it'll be like a glove. It'll fit your body. That every indulgence, everything that the body comes to absolutely argue against your spirit and say, you see that image of who you are? Yes, I believe it. Now listen, any of those limbs, meditation of the Word, praying in tongues, usually a person will argue, I'm doing that and I'm still not free. But I'd tell them, you still haven't exhausted it to its limits nearly as much as you think. But can I give you one? Can I tell you one that fits the flesh more than, I mean, putting a quietus stop even more than, I mean, as far as immediate, boom, hit it in the face, more than praying in tongues, more than the Word, like you could pick up the Word and read it today, and then you'd think about, what did I just read? What did I just read? Jesus said, I'm going to leave you in a body. It's not glorified. Let me tell you about the stepson. Because praying in tongues gets invited to the party. Worship definitely gets invited to the party. Look what I got here, revelation. Revelation knowledge, which is meditation of the Word, it gets to come to the party. Confession. Confession is, you see that mountain over there? Yes. Take what the Holy Ghost prayed in and you meditated and take that, those two things by revelation knowledge on the Word and put it in your mouth. Now turn it against that mountain. Okay, that's pretty glamorous. I like that. I can talk that mountain down. It's big, it's getting smaller, it's getting smaller, it's getting smaller. You can talk it down. That's four of the five, but I can tell you there's a stepchild. There is a stepchild. Everybody's at the party. The stepchild's over here. Hi. A little one. Hi, everybody. Hi. Pastor, what if my flesh was giving me a fit? What if it did not resemble that, even though that's true? Can you help me? Yes, I can introduce you to the stepchild. Because I know nothing in all my years of experience that can absolutely levy on the flesh a blow and cause it to come under the image of that like fasting can. The moment that you slide that plate back and step back, put down fork and spoon, and begin to say, I know that's who I am. I've been confessing the Word over this and I still find out. I almost sound like the man in Romans 7, and I know that's not true. I've gotten past that part of the revelation. Jesus said this. They said, why is it that your disciples do not fast? John's and the Pharisees fast. He said, how can you make them fast when I'm here? It's a party. I'm here. I'm covering them. But He said, I'm going away. And in that day they will fast. Then he said something like, we don't understand. No, because they didn't understand because they didn't have a new nature. He said, you don't put a new garment. You don't sew a new garment into an old. Else, the strength of the new will tear the old. Why? Because the strength of the new is resistance against the elasticity. There's no more stretch in the old. He said, you don't put new wine that's in a fermenting process into old wineskins. The old wineskins, they've stretched as far as they can go. And he said, if you poured new wine in them, guess what? They would burst. Why? Because when those gases over the next 3 months begin to ferment and they push and push and push and push, split, 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 split. He said, you wouldn't do that. He said, therefore, you will fast when I leave. Why? Because what he was saying was, that's exactly what I'm about to do. I'm about to put the new wine of the new nature. That wasn't the Holy Spirit he was talking about there. He was talking about there's going to be a change in covenants. That man that was under the law, he could not keep the law. Now you're going to be able to keep the law. Oh, but guess what? In case there's an argument, if you ever come to the place where you're looking up and say, what I know does not resemble what I'm looking at, I'm still messing up. He said, guess what? I gave you a stepson, one that you won't want to use as least as you can, I'm sure. But I can tell you this, it'll be the same as if you went out and purchased new bottles for new wine. The new wine was the new nature. And your body was those new wineskins. It was the wineskins. You were the old wineskin. And he said, you wouldn't think about doing this. I mean, it'd be ridiculous. But that's what I'm about to do. I'm about to put a new wine, the new nature, into old bodies. Listen. How many of you noticed when you got born again and you got up off the altar, you didn't look any different? You didn't weigh any less? You had an old wineskin. You know where the argument comes? You know where condemnations? You know where excessive behavior comes? Comes from the old wineskin. Comes from the body. Comes from what is called the flesh. Jesus said, okay, here's atomic bomb stuff. Here's the one that'll blow it away. It'll cause you to come into a place where you don't even know why. Now, 3 months ago, I couldn't. You think are you conformed to all this stuff, Pastor? Oh, no. I wish I could sit down here and hear myself preach. I'm with you. I've not risen above you. But I can tell you this. I know this stuff works. 15 years of walking this walk, I have not found one of the limbs to be as potently powerful against the flesh immediately as fasting does. I mean, the moment that you begin to execute a position. Well, why does it work? It works because he knows I'm serious now, right? Wrong. Fasting has nothing to do with sacrifice. It's an execution of a positional. It does not replace the blood. In other words, after you've done your fast, you're no more free than you were before you started it. Well, why did I do it? Because your flesh does not believe that you're free. And your flesh says, go back and get the fourth plate, the fifth plate. I'm miserable. I'm about to throw up. But I got to have it. I don't know why I got to have it. I got to have it. I know she's over there and I know that she's not dressed properly. It's not her sin. It's not, you know. They always said it's the second look. Jesus did not. He didn't say it was the second, third, fourth, or fifth look. Bunch of religious devils. People, the preachers that say that. He said when a man looks, he may incidentally look 10 times and never have lust. The curiosity just, you know, but the moment that he does, when he lusts, Jesus didn't say after the sixth time, the seventh time, or after the second time. What is it? Listen, it's not sacrifice. Because if you think it's sacrifice, then people will say this. They'll say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I had a planned trip. You know, Pastor, fasting's fasting. I'm going to fast. Saturday's my day to go to the mall. I'm not going to go to the mall for the next two Saturdays. That's what I'm going to give up. It's not giving up anything. It's an execution. He said this, the motions of sin are dead inside of you. In other words, your body has been declared dead, Romans 8. And Jesus said, there's a facet, an inroad in me that executes that death that at times does not look like it resembles the image. He said this, the moment I leave, it is going to be necessary. They're free. But guess what? If they ever get to the place where they don't think that they're free, if they can't stop their temper, if they can't stop their lives, if they cannot stop a roller coaster ride, I tell you this, I have given them this wisdom. They can stop it dead in its tracks. How so? They'll need to fast. Well, I'll just give up my golf game for 2 weeks. I know it, Pastor. I'll give up television. You can't find, now I challenge, even preachers on TV, I challenge somebody to show me where fasting has anything other to do than going without food. Well, it's all the same, Pastor. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Okay, if it is, if it's all the same, then go without food then. Well, no, I just don't want to. Well, why don't you want to? Because I don't want to. Well, if it's all the same, then if you can just go without your golf game for two times or three times and that's a fast, then show me it. Just it's all equal, then go without food for 3 days. So that only the mind of Christ could He come like this, because we had to show you, first of all, it's only through His blood. It's only through His blood. Well, Pastor, whoo, everything that you've said today, I've gotten by. Well, another one is that shovel deal. I'm shoveling it behind me. That guy back there, he needs this. Whoo, preach it, Pastor. He needs it. She needs it. I wish they were here to hear this, because they need this. You know what's worse? I'd say just as bad as looking at things that you shouldn't look at. That thing called, I just don't care. I mean, I really don't get it. I don't get it when you guys tear up over kids getting out of wheelchairs and a harvest you call revival. I mean, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but man, don't you guys get it? I mean, you guys are a little naive. Don't you think about IRAs and laying things aside and trying to get ahead and think about retirement and, you know, enjoying life a little bit? Are you guys sadistic? Or I mean, I don't get it. Listen, that place of melancholy, I don't care, is as lethal as looking at things that you don't want your wife to catch you looking at. Is there a way to break it? Oh yeah. Put down that fork for just a little bit, and you'll find out that a supernatural hunger starts to come on your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now you're clapping because you want me to hush. And I will, because I am hungry and I can't wait to leave and go get something to eat. Woo! Now, there's ways to do it, and some of you guys are working so hard, and that sun is hot, and it's terrible. If you get hungry enough in the Spirit, if you haven't heard some of our other messages, there's ways to do it. You don't have to go on a week-long one. You don't have to go on days without number. But you can, I'll tell you, Pastor, I've heard you can die if you go 4 or 5 days. I've watched Survivor. Honestly, I don't watch any of that stuff, but I've watched it enough. Sometimes they'll say, we got to get something to eat. We've been 3 days without eating. I'm thinking, oh my God. You are not, now listen, I know nobody's headed this way. You're not even in jeopardy until about 45, 50 days of any of the really breakdowns of of your organs. You're not even in, as long as you can get some water, you're good to go. That's it. But listen, if you wanted to think about, thinking about, considering a possible, 1 to 2, and they're the hardest. Why? Because that's about when the chemicals, which are ungodly toxins, really start coming out. So I do those kind of things on the weekend. So you don't cuss anybody out on the job. But listen, if you don't ever fast, guess what? You are qualified to cast out devils. You're qualified to raise the dead. The only thing is, I have found, and I could be facetious and say, I bet you, I don't, you know, act like you weren't, haven't found the same things, and there's no need for me to do. I have found on this walk in the last 15 years, even though I know what the Word says, I have found that my body will challenge me, and it'll tell me, you're not free. And you know what? It'll make one of the best arguments, and I'll even feel the emotions of not being free. And if I don't watch it, I'll obey those emotions. But aren't you glad? Listen, if we never ever use this, if you don't ever use it, aren't you glad that there's a one standing in the wings that if you really get desperate, it's there for you? It is the stepchild that doesn't get invited. Nobody wants to talk about it, but if you get desperate, I don't do a lot of counseling. I will if you need it. But most people know this, that's been around for a long time. When they come and they start talking about the dominance, that depression and sin and anxiety, somewhere in love, it's not going to be like a ruler across the fist. Somewhere in love, what I'm going to do is, you know what's coming. How is your prayer life? So most people just check on that to start with and say, there's no need to go talk to Pastor. Just. And then if I find somebody in an acute position, like, I'm just about to die. Oh God, I want this off of me. I want it off of me. I want it off. I'll say, okay, I've got the stepchild. And they say, I'm free. Glory be to God. I'm free at last. I can feel freedom. I can. You want the stepchild? No, I'm free. I'm free. Glory be to God. I'm just free. But if you couldn't get free, I can take you, introduce you to the stepchild. This one Jesus left as the one of the last. This is an atomic bomb. You start using this one, oh my God, you will believe you are free. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll hush if you'll clap one more time. Oh my God, you know what I didn't do? I didn't take up an offering before I did all that. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you don't get ready and give, then I'll go 15 more minutes on hardcore stuff. You know, no, that's manipulation for sure. How many will believe with me for God's blessing this morning in our offering? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there was two people. How many of the rest of you would voluntarily believe that we'll receive a wonderful offering this morning? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Father, we just love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. So, Father, we receive as Gay every Friday night. We follow her confession as she leads us that our financial granaries are full. Which, Lord, of course, I'm teaching as I'm praying, Father, you understand this, and they will too when I say this, that for you to get this over to the house, you've got to come through them. You've got to bless. This is not something that you're kept under law. This is all, who you are as our Father. I'm asking for the businessman, the businesswoman, that they will have so much that they can't even get to it. That it'll be like the harvest. It'll be a concern, but a rightful concern. How can I handle all this? And I pray it'll not be, Lord, cheap work, but it'll be fruitful work. It'll be powerful work. It'll be harvesting work. It'll be harvesting to bring in and to pour those offerings here at this place. Father, I pray for those that with hourly jobs, that Lord God, if their field has gone as far as it can, I pray that, Father, that you will give them another job. Lord, I pray that they'll shake hands with their employer, give them a good notice when you give them the next job that causes them to make more money and to have a better salary and better employment. Father, I praise you that we are a prosperous bunch in the name of Jesus. We don't have to beg, and I thank you. I receive their prayers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, and I give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless all of you. Would you please stand with us this morning? Give somebody a great big hug. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Amen.